New Galaxy Broadcasting proudly presents Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD. In this program, we explore a powerful new paradigm for health from the standpoint of integrative medicine. In his practice, Dr. Rodier integrates the ancient Hermetic art and the enduring role of food as medicine with modern nutrition, but also allowing for the wide range of important health practices, including truly valuable medical discoveries, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathic and herbal medicine. In this program, Hugo Rodier, an expert in intestinal health and nutrition, will help the audience discover an approach that focuses on actual cures, not the masking of the elegant simplicity of many health solutions for the sake of profit. Profit too long has been an overriding motive of the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, sadly, by many in the medical establishment today.
This is Johnny Bluestar. My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. Projects could be nonfiction books or novels, screenplays, commercials, audio or video products, musical scores for ads, TV or film, etc. If you need help to accomplish your goals, visit newgalaxyenterprises.com or contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. Turn your vision into a dazzling media reality. Manifest your media dream today.
Some say that the history of medicine has been continually evolving since the time of the ancient Greek physician Hippocrates. But today, some experienced and knowledgeable doctors beg to differ. They clearly see forms of medical treatment that often serve to suppress symptoms with pharmaceuticals that have dangerous, if not fatal, side effects. Also, recommendations for surgical intervention that place profitability over the well-being of their patients. These doctors refuse to include in their practice the many modern and ancient health disciplines utilizing herbs, homeopathic remedies, acupuncture, and above all, the power of nutrition. Many of the most useful insights are grounded in Hermetic science developed hundreds of years ago. Hugo Rodier, MD, author, broadcaster, and practicing physician, has spent his career focusing on nutrition and intestinal health. In fact, only now medical journals are coming to terms with the guiding points of view he had realized decades ago. Please join with me, Johnny Bluestar, as I assist Dr. Hugo Rodier in his new program, Integrative Hermetic Health.
Today's show, we're going to focus on probably one of the major interests of the public. I'm talking about anti-aging solutions. Let me extend a warm welcome to our host, Hugo Rodier, whose regular monthly routine involves reading 50 medical journal articles and reporting them to a devoted audience of readers and listeners. For more information, sign up on his website at www.hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. Welcome, Dr. Rodier.
Well, thank you, Johnny, for that introduction. Yes, let's talk about anti-aging. A lot of people are very interested in this field, and with good reason. It turns out to touch on a very deep issue that the ancients mastered, if you will. And so let's just go back in time a little bit. Just about every philosophy, every way of thinking for the ancients was based on three simple premises: the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of men, and the immortality of the soul. The last issue consumed people just as much as the other two. In fact, we have so many traditions, legends based on the immortality of man. So men have always, and women have always, been interested in prolonging life, and not only on an earthly plane, but spiritual plane. But sometimes they would focus more on the earthly plane. So we have legends like Holy Grail, El Dorado, the Fountain of Youth, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd like to integrate those thoughts with modern science and how things haven't changed that much. In fact, Johnny, before the show, we talked about one issue that you yourself have contemplated concerning the way the ancients dealt with the immortality of man.
Well, one of the things, it's a little bit different than people might think, because the alchemical belief was that if you could create something really special, which we'll discuss in a second, called the Philosopher's Stone, then you could actually change your physical nature and you could obtain immortality. That's sort of the more public side of it. It's a little bit more complicated. But let's first look at one really well-known example. I say well-known to people interested in it, but a lot of our listeners may never have heard of Nicolas Flamel, who lived in the Middle Ages. And I'm going to quote from a website called ancientorigins.net. And so this is about Nicolas Flamel. One day, Flamel went to the market where an old book caught his eye. It contained an old text written by Abraham the Jew, and Flamel decided to buy it, paying the cheap price of 2 florins. The pages of the book contained images which detail some of the steps of the great work as the alchemical process of creating, we spoke of, the Philosopher's Stone. At first, Nicolas Flamel was unable to understand what the images actually meant, so he left for Compostela, Spain, where he was introduced to a Jew who had converted to Catholicism. The Jew understood the meaning of the images, which he shared with Flamel. And we're really talking about sort of a Kabbalistic book. The alchemist then came back to Paris, where he began to experiment with the transmutation of metals alongside his wife. Now, this is Flamel. He taught her the principles of alchemy in the past, and by following to the letter the instructions from the book, they achieved their first successful transmutation, obtaining gold at a far superior level than the common one, with much higher level of purity. Because besides trying to transmute themselves, they usually alchemy is thought of transmuting the base metals to gold. And then a lot of alchemists were seeking to the longevity or immortality even, were also experimenting with precious metals. Flamel was very discreet and kept his success a secret, as Charles V had ordered the destruction of alchemical laboratories. Instead, Flamel's reaction was to endow various churches and to order a portal with symbolic figures for Saint Jacques la Boucherie, the neighboring church. Now, very interestingly, Paul Lucas, a traveler from the 18th century, declared he had met some Arabs in the desert and they had told him that the famous couple of alchemists still lived. In his book, The History of the French from Different States, Alexis Motillon stated how he came across a French intellectual and how they talked. The man told him that he had met Nicolas Flamel, who was not only alive, but kept on experimenting in some kind of secret underground facility. What do you think of that story?
Well, I think there's a lot to it, and I'm glad you shared it with us. But let's unpack it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with the concept that alchemy has a lot of value. In fact, it gave rise to chemistry. Also, as we've talked before, Newton was an alchemist, and he kept it to himself because of many political, economic reasons. But the translation here of the whole story is how a good motive to seek health, to seek immortality, goes awry, because a whole lot of these people became very greedy. They were consumed by materialism. They wanted gold for a whole lot of earthly purposes, if you will. With it came a lot of power and politics. A lot of vitriol, wars, et cetera, and the rest is history.
A lot of fraud, too, right?
Exactly, a lot of fraud, too. And again, as we talk all the time, there is strength and wisdom. So these people were coming from a very strength point of view, but there was very little wisdom in it because they were consumed by the beast they created. And so I believe that the same thing is happening today with anti-aging issues. I'm sure you've heard, Johnny, about anti-aging doctors and their practices, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I mean, I remember when it started, you know, like, I don't know. 25, 30 years ago, and there was a lot of exaggerated talk about it.
Right.
Now it seems it's... Well, there's also the side aspect of the extreme... success of certain kind of cosmetic practices. If you looked at some of these older actresses, you'd say, oh, wow. But they're not they're not really taking medicine to make them de-age. They're cutting off things.
So one has to wonder about the wisdom of these practices and even the evidence. And so a lot of people wonder, well, is this legit? Well, CNN and a whole lot of other media outlets have publicized the stance from the American Medical Association, which does not recognize these practitioners as mainstream. And, you know, I know they don't recognize me either, nutrition. They don't recognize nutrition as a practice. So, you know, I can't, I have to throw that in because there are political issues on both sides. But a lot of people wonder, is anti-aging a specialty? Well, they think they are. They have a society of anti-aging doctors. They grant a diploma if you go through their protocols. But the American Medical Association does not recognize anti-aging as a legitimate specialty. Why? It's because of all these issues that you brought up with alchemy. They are now being recreated. Because anti-aging is basically laboring under the vain process of living forever and with stalling death. In fact, Kurt Weill, have you heard of Kurt Weill? He wrote Singularity is Near.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, there's a whole lot of people out there that not only want to be frozen, refrigerated, put in hibernation, cut their heads off so that you can save the head and then get a new body when the technology is there. They want to download all their memories into a chip, and then those memories would be them, and then it can be implanted into a new body when they are ready to do that. And then they inject themselves with thousands of supplements, even IV. And you know what? I understand the drive to live forever. Okay, like I said at the beginning, it's in human nature to seek immortality. But I think we get so sidetracked by the material stuff, we forget the wisdom of what the alchemists really meant, which is an immortality of the soul, the immortality of love, the immortality of spiritual things. So now we have humanism, a whole lot of people want to become Borgs. They want to have an artificial heart, artificial kidneys, artificial arms, artificial this and that, and just like Star Trek, become Borgs, half machine, half human. And, you know, we're going to have to face that issue squarely in the future, because it's going to bring up a whole lot of ethical issues, and all of this because of anti-aging. The very word tells you what's wrong with it. What, you know, anti-aging, what's wrong with aging?
Can I present a little bit of a devil's advocate here?
All right.
Well, first of all, the what I consider to be the real alchemists, this was not really materialism. It wasn't, the actual practice of physical alchemy by traditional but serious alchemists was a spiritual discipline. I think a spiritual discipline that kind of mirrored the physical, the hope to physically transform oneself. But this transformation ultimately was sort of like the transfiguration of Christ. I mean, they would live longer, but then their bodies and their physical self would change, and they would actually go to the next level without dying. In other words, their body would become, for want of another word, sort of like an astral body. They would change, so they would be able to ascend into another plane without going through the actual physical death process. But they weren't really trying to stay on Earth. They weren't trying to prolong their life forever on Earth. That, I think, was is sort of a perversion of the intent of traditional alchemy of the nature that I'm speaking of.
So I totally agree. So you're not playing the devil's advocate, because that's exactly the point that I was making, that this movement got perverted to what you're alluding.
Oh, I think it definitely was perverted, and it's right. Like you're saying, it still is, because we're not meant to. This is a plane of destruction and death and birth, right. And it's like a cyclical plane, and it's not. That's involved with a great deal of suffering. And, you know, in a certain way, I would say, like the Buddhists might talk about, you know, you want to avoid suffering. And maybe the traditional answer that some religions have is not really quite what we really want. And maybe that's why people turn to something more like the more traditional alchemies that we're speaking about.
Well, the big point is it's what's going on today. So we used alchemy as an example, and we're in agreement that people can get sidetracked. And so the same thing is happening today. The very anti-aging movement, yes, you can understand where they're coming from, but there's nothing wrong with aging. And if we do it with grace, with wisdom, we accrue a whole lot of benefits as we age. And so these anti-aging people are blasting people with a whole lot of supplements, which can be expensive, even IV, and most deleterious with hormones. So a whole lot of these people are overusing hormones. And look, I'm not saying that we shouldn't use them at all. I think we should be weary of the side effect of blasting everyone with hormones. See, these anti-aging doctors have special tests. You walk into their offices and they'll test you. Well, guess what? Everyone in the door, even if you came in with a hangnail, will be tested wanting hormones. So you have to wonder, why do the tests at all? Further, you have to wonder about any test that proves that everyone is flawed. You know, that's called false positives.
Yeah, it would seem like they're not really anti-aging. They're the slowers down of aging, or they're pretending to say they are. I mean, I think maybe in some sense, sometimes it works, doesn't it?
Well, of course it does. But at what price? You know, so think of hormones as stimulants. Thyroid is a very stimulating hormone, and sex hormones, who doesn't want to rev up their bedroom life? You know, I get it. But what is the cost? You see, so a whole lot of people are being overtreated. In fact, I see a lot of these patients end up in my office with the symptoms of overtreatment.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And so, look, I'm not saying that a regular doctor will not prescribe hormones. No, I'm just saying a regular doctor will use more standard tests that will show a certain percentage of the population needing testosterone, needing estrogen, needing thyroid, and they will be prescribed judiciously. Further, these anti-aging doctors keep testing you to see what level of hormones you have in the blood, which it's very controversial, because a whole lot of our sex hormones vary from day to day, from hour to hour, particularly in women. And so the laboratory tests that are done at these anti-aging clinics are geared to fostering more visits, more testing, more adjustments of the hormones. And before you know it, you've spent over $2,000, $3,000 for a treatment that is questionable, fraught with side effects. And for what? For vanity, for a misunderstanding of the aging process. You know, the very word anti-aging, like I said before, tells you all about this movement. Why are you so opposed to aging? Why don't we call it aging with grace, right? But, and so thanks for the whole alchemy example, because I think the same thing is going on. So modern alchemy, if you will, it's hormonal treatment by anti-aging people and blasting people with very expensive supplements. A whole lot of poor people cannot afford. So it's also an elitist type of movement. Can you afford getting your head chopped off and frozen? You
know? Probably not.
Please, doctor, don't chop off my head. I want... Yeah. Listen, we have to take a break for a second, and we'll come back. Let's not walk into the freezer in the meantime. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. The resumes we design are carefully thought out, customized with a great deal of consultation with our clients, and developed to fit the generic requirements of a company or a specific position. A resume these days is still very important. Let us help you. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form. Spy Files is another riveting component of Kenneth Eads' Brent Marks legal thriller series. When Michael Fine, a young journalist, asks Brent Marks to assist him in a Freedom of Information request, classified documents are accidentally released to him by the FBI. When they're not returned, there's big legal trouble afoot for him and for his attorney, who are facing criminal prosecution. The story, however, starts off with a murder. Here's an excerpt.
The Spy Files by Kenneth Ead. Read by Maxwell Zener. When Chan approached the lab, he could see that the lights were on. That's strange. I'm sure I turned them off. Maybe it's the janitor. He unlocked the lab door and startled the man who was sitting at his station. Chan's monitor was illuminated. What are you doing there? The man rose from his seat and looked to his right and then to his left, deciding whether to run or stand his ground. Chan approached him. I'm calling security. You shouldn't be here. Just back off, Chinaman, and I won't have to hurt you. Chan put his right hand on his stun gun, searching for the nerve. With his left hand, he picked up the phone and started to punch in the number for security with his thumb. Put it down, Chinaman. Chan looked up to see the man pointing a gun right at him. He set down the phone slowly. You're going to shoot me? Just walk away and nobody gets hurt. Just walk away. You didn't see anything. Chan took two paces back. He bent to pick up his briefcase. Leave it. Just keep moving. Chan let go of the handle of the briefcase. The man approached him slowly. Chan took another two steps back, and the man took several steps forward. Chan put his hand on the door, and the man gently pushed him through it. Taking his chance, Chan rotated, slammed the taser against the man's body, and let it rip. The man dropped the gun and staggered back, bracing himself against a table. Chan came back into the lab and lunged for his briefcase. With a surge of energy and anger, the man tackled Chan, slamming him back against a lab table. Chan fell hard, hitting his head. Chan lay there still. The man panicked and felt his carotid artery. There was no pulse. Oh, shit! What a mess! He pulled his cell phone out of his pocket. From The Spy Files by Kenneth Ead. Read by Maxwell Zener.
Here is a beautiful song by Patty Greer called Autumn Glow.
She's an angel. Feelings.
Well, we're back again. Dr. Rodier, you know, you were talking about hormones, you know, and I was wondering, could you go into more sort of explaining the healthy, legitimate side of it? The, you know, for instance, like for sex hormones, how do you, what do you consider to be the natural best protocol for using these things if necessary?
I think you need to be tested, given some symptoms. If you're doing just fine, I wouldn't worry about it, but there's some legitimate screening that can be done. And of course, the most important hormone is insulin, and insulin problems, insulin resistance is an epidemic in our country. So if you start to have insulin resistance, you start to have all kinds of other problems. So that will mess with your thyroid, with your sex hormones. So it all starts with insulin. And so I'm a proponent of checking for an A1C and have been my whole career. Even 30 years ago, when I was told by the corporation I worked for to stop testing because I was scaring patients by checking an A1C.
Could you explain what A1C is?
Sure. An A1C is the amount of sugar that goes from the bloodstream into the red blood cell. So, yeah, so sugar sticks to the hemoglobin inside the red blood cell is the A1C measurement. So an A1C doesn't measure sugar on the blood. It measures sugar going inside the red blood cell and sticking to the hemoglobin, which is a more lasting chronic measurement. Blood sugar waxes and wanes depending on time of day, what you've eaten and all that. So the A1C is more steady. And so that value needs to be under 5.7. From 5.7 to 6.5, you're looking at prediabetes, which is an epidemic in our country. And over 6.5, we call it diabetes. And so if you start to go down that road, you begin to affect everything else, including your thyroid function, adrenal function, your brain, your sex hormones. And of course, the latter is best exemplified by the PCOS syndrome, or women that have menstruation problems because they're pre-diabetics. And so that's a very good question, Johnny, because you have hit the nail on the head. It turns out that aging is about the food we eat. And if we're eating poorly, we're not going to age well. We're going to affect how we metabolize, how pre-diabetic we are, and all those insulin issues will begin to affect every other hormone. That is the root issue. So you can see that working on the symptoms with hormones, it's not addressing the real issue. In fact, it's very telling that the drug metformin, you've heard of it, Johnny, metformin, Glucophage?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it's a most prescribed drug for diabetics and pre-diabetics. And it's not a terrible drug as drugs go, because it came from Galega officinalis, an herb, or the French lily. It just that it's been so refined that it can have side effects like gut issues, liver issues. It messes with the intestinal flora. It robs you of B vitamins, et cetera, et cetera. No drug is perfect. But it came from a good source, Mother Nature, if you will. It was overly refined by the pharmaceuticals. But the point is here that metformin now is going to start to be used by anti-aging practitioners because it's been shown to increase longevity and increase the life span, if you will.
Uh-huh.
But you see what's going on here? Why don't we deal with the real issue, which is the pre-diabetic issue driven by diets that are excessively refined, bereft of nutrients? Nobody eats veggies anymore. And so they end up eating artificial processed food, astronaut food, SAD diets, the standard American diet, SAD, a SAD diet. That ends up driving insulin resistance for many reasons that we're not going to get into today. But the point is, again, anti-aging doctors will begin to prescribe metformin.
Well, you know, testosterone is used to, well, for bodybuilders and so forth. I mean, it's sort of a male cosmetic type of energizer, so to speak. What do you think of the of that hormone? Is that being misused?
Absolutely. You said it yourself, that it's been used for bodybuilders, and of course a whole lot of other guys want to use it for other reasons, mainly bedroom stuff, which I don't blame them. I mean, who doesn't want that? But my point is that if you do it that way and you don't look at why your testosterone levels are depressed, then you end up treating the symptoms and you're not addressing the real issue, which is insulin resistance. In fact, insulin resistance has been shown to increase insulin levels so much it affects your testes and your production of testosterone as much as it affects women's ovaries, and thereby it affects their fertility, menstrual cycles, et cetera, et cetera. So a very good question. You can see then that, yes, you can use the testosterone all you want, but you're not only ignoring the root issues, but you're treating with a potentially harmful hormone and over-treating. And so there are going to be side effects, as any bodybuilder will tell you. One of them is that it shrinks your nuts. Why? Because you stop the natural production of your own testosterone. And so the same with female sex hormones. So, again, people that overuse these hormones, yes, they do get a boost at first. Remember, these hormones are stimulating. So they feel great for a year or two, but then they crash, okay? And so an anti-aging doctor out there prescribing these things willy-nilly, without regards to what's going to happen in the future and the side effects, without regards for the root issues, is reprehensible. That is why the American Medical Association does not recognize anti-aging as a specialty.
Well, what about, you know, you're talking about the thyroid treatment. What about the overuse of, thyroid hormones, thyroxine?
The same. Yes.
Well, but what actually are the symptoms of it?
All right. Not if you use it right. That's my point. If you get tested by standard testing and you're found wanting in thyroid, testosterone, estrogen, and all those things, yes, you take it. So you're going from a deficient level to a normal level, if you will. And so let's focus on the thyroid. Yeah. If you're found to be wanting in thyroid and you take it and you get up to a normal level, then there are no side effects.
Well, what happens? What are the side effects if you go over?
If you overuse it,
what happens?
Overstimulation of the heart, bone thinning, anxiety.
Wow.
Those are the main three. All right. And it's the same with testosterone. In fact, testosterone has been shown to increase atherosclerosis. And so a lot of people overusing testosterone are at risk of heart attacks and strokes. So tell me, is an anti-aging doctor concerned with those issues? Apparently not. But your question is a very good one, because, yes, there is legitimate use of these hormones, but I don't think it's going to come from anti-aging doctors.
Well, this is something perhaps we could touch on a little bit more about birth control pills. They're definitely something that affect. I mean, they're not necessarily used for anti-aging, but they are still very powerful hormones that we're putting, women particularly, you know, are putting in their bodies. And what are the effects of those things? Is there any such thing as a really safe birth control pill?
Very good question. Turns out that this past week, we saw an article in the New England Journal saying that the risk of cancer goes up by 20% with birth control pills. Now, before women start dropping the birth control pill, let's just not overreact here. Number one, it's a lot worse to get pregnant when you're not ready. And so it's a matter of cost and effect with birth control pills. And so if a couple or a woman by herself decides to take the risk because of that cost-benefit analysis in her own life and the couple's life, then I'm totally fine with it. But we need to use them fully aware, with full openness, if you will, so that couples and women can make an informed decision. Now, it turns out that the newer birth control pills have more side effects than the older ones. So if I'm going to use a birth control pill, I try to talk women into using the older ones, like Orthonovum 777. Having said that, there are other forms of birth control that can be just as good. An IUD, for example, I think is quite underused, an IUD. It's been proven to be quite benign, hardly any side effects. It just that it requires a little more mechanics. Then another one that is totally underused is a vasectomy. Now, guys don't like to hear that, but I tell you, if a couple is done having children, I think it behooves a good man to go in and spare his partner the risk of remaining on a birth control pill. Now, again, I don't want to sound like this is a way I need to go, because this is a highly
There are condoms too, right?
There are condoms too, but you know, see, you seldom find anybody that likes them. But of course, you know, if you're not in a relationship, it's probably the best way to go. You know what I mean? But the point here is hormones again. So I'm glad you brought it up. But let me bring it back to this whole overall hormonal thing. We do it at our own peril. And if you're going to do it, if you want to go to an anti-aging doctor, you know what? I'm totally fine with it. I hope I haven't come across as saying don't go do it. It's your right to do it. It's your life. But I just want people to know it's not as benign as it's made sound. So if you're going to do that cost-benefit analysis, if you want to be Mr. Universe, that's fine. You know, go ahead and do it. If you want to have sex four times a day, you know, because you're jacked up on testosterone, go do it. I understand the drive. You just have to be aware of the side effects, and I hope you do a cost-benefit analysis. You know, there are a lot of people out there, Johnny, that will say, you know what? Let me smoke and drink and party and do hormones, and I'll die at 50. They're okay with that. You know what? I'm okay with that too, if that's what you choose.
Well, we're gonna have to take a break now. And when we get back, we're going to discuss a little bit more of the exotic future of future technology and future possibilities for keeping us alive, that's different from these from this anti-aging protocol that we've been discussing. Here we go.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects like book covers, logos, web design elements with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact,
go to newgalaxyenterprises.com or email me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
For artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
Are you confused about so much information on health issues? Do you find it hard to trust the sources of conflicting advice? Try Dr. Rodier's newsletters and blogs based on the latest information published in the best medical and nutritional journals. There's no charge for subscribing. Just log on to hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. to do so, or to download Dr. Rodier's latest publications.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
We're going to, we're going to look at a little story from the New York Times that sort of indicates another possibility of many that are being looked at sort of scientifically about the longevity or even immortalizing process, if there is such a thing. But this comes closer to the immortalizing process, but it's really strange. So I'm going to quote this quickly. After more than 4,000 years, almost since the dawn of recorded time, when Utnapishtim told Gilgamesh that the secret to immortality lay in a coral found on the ocean floor, man finally discovered the eternal life in 1988. He found it, in fact, on the ocean floor. The discovery was made unwittingly by Christian Sommer, a German marine biology student in his early 20s. He was spending the summer in Rapallo, a small city on the Italian Riviera, where exactly one century earlier, Friedrich Nietzsche conceived Thus Spoke Zarathustra. Everything goes, everything comes back, eternally rolls the wheel of being, everything dies, everything blossoms again, which is a quote from there. Sommer was conducting research on hydrozoans, small invertebrates that, depending on their stage of life, resemble either a jellyfish or a soft coral. Every morning, Sommer went snorkeling in the turquoise water off the cliffs of Portofino. He scanned the ocean for hydrozoans, gathering them with plankton nets. Among the hundreds of organisms he collected was a tiny, relatively obscure species known to biologists as Turritopsis doringi, something like that. Today it is more commonly known as the immortal jellyfish. Sommer kept his hydrozoans in petri dishes and observed their reproduction habits. After several days, he noticed his Turritopsis doringi, or whatever it is, was behaving in a very peculiar way, for which he could only hypothesize no earthly explanation. Plainly speaking, it refused to die. It appeared to age in reverse, growing younger and younger until it reached its early age of development, at which point it began its life cycle anew. Sort of like Benjamin Button in the movie, going backwards and then suddenly starting again. What do you think of that as a kind of possibility of aging?
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of things in nature that can help. And in fact, a big drive of the pharmaceuticals is to discover those things and cash in on those things. So I believe they'll continue to look, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just wonder about the motivation. So that's the whole point of this conversation. So, I think it's great that they keep looking as to how it will apply and how much it will cost. That's a big issue. But if it's driven by vanity and we're not addressing the root issues, the low-hanging fruit, if you will, you know, then it gives me pause, you know, to focus on all those things. But let me go back to this issue of true aging. If we do it, if we have in mind that a lot of aging is because of the food we eat, the toxic environments we live in, the stresses we live in, and focus on those things, then that's 90% of it. And then we don't have to look for all these other fancy things and ignore the low-hanging fruit. Like, take, for instance, the environment. There's a whole lot of chemicals out there that act as obesogens. That is, they mess up with insulin. They make people more insulin resistant. So they're called obesogens and even diabetogens. They tend to be xenoestrogens, or chemicals in the environment that act like foreign estrogens, and endocrine disruptors. So those are key words that people ought to be Googling and realize that not to pay attention to these chemicals in the environment, environmental pollution, and just blast you with hormones without addressing why your hormones are petering out and might be lacking, then that's folly. And so take, for instance, thyroid again. A whole lot of people will tell you, well, let's see if we can bring up your thyroid naturally. Yeah, you can try, but I don't see much success in it because we're not dealing with a big issue that is compromising our thyroid other than those chemicals I just mentioned. And that's atomic radiation, nuclear radiation. Johnny, we're being lied about Fukushima. We're being lied about Chernobyl, Three Mile Island.
Really serious stuff, right?
Right. And all that testing that happened down the road here, down I-15 in Utah, southern Utah, Nevada, all those downwinders, if you will, wound up with thyroid issues and other serious cancers. And so my question is, yeah, let's go for it. Let's look at it. But I'm afraid that focusing on those things and missing out on the very basic ways of aging. And ultimately, aging, Johnny, is about life and death issues. I think as an adolescent society, we just don't get it, that life and death are natural processes meant to increase wisdom. In our society, we have an adolescent preoccupation with youth and aging. And so how are we going to change that? Now, you know, this is where we get into your realm of reality, that is looking at the esoteric, looking at childhood issues, looking at our attitudes, our philosophies. I believe, Johnny, that those people that are vainly preoccupied about aging are people who have not figured out that they're being controlled by an ego that must be the master of the soul. And it's not going to work. So if we look at our childhood issues, we begin to see that a whole lot of these attitudes are traumatized egos that just don't want to let go. They must be in control at all times. And I think it's very damaging, and it leads to a whole lot of societal ills and individual problems, such as a over preoccupation with living forever, and even leads to scatological issues about apocalyptic views of our society that are very damaging.
Well, what about another side to us that we haven't discussed yet? Some of the herbs like gota kola, fotitiang, ginseng that are said to be longevity type of herbs or to help in some fashion. What do you think of those? Are they part of?
They're great. No, I love herbs. Herbs are just more specialized nutrients. And so by getting good nutrition, and you can focus on herbs, if you will, they're just forms of nutrition. And all the herbs you mentioned, Johnny, are insulin sensitizers. They sensitize you to insulin better, so you metabolize better. You get the energy of the sun into you better. You fuel your cells better, so they age better. They function better. They metabolize better. All those herbs you mentioned, the same as food. And so by doing that, you keep your insulin levels down so that you avoid that rise in insulin from bad foods, from insulin resistance, that rise in insulin that goes to other hormones, your testes, your ovaries, your thyroid, your adrenals, and muck up and curtail the proper function of those other hormones just because you're eating so poorly. I like to tell my patients, every Twinkie you put in your mouth is like a nail in your coffin.
I'm sorry.
Further, you know what? Another motivation issue. You want to have good sex? You want to have erections that last for an hour or two? Stop eating sugar. So here you are. You're looking at a Twinkie, and you're looking at good sex. What's your choice going to be? All right? Of course, you know, the more clever cynical will say, I'll just go to the anti-aging doctor and get blasted with testosterone. You know what? Go ahead, buddy. I don't care. Just be conscious of what you're doing and the side effects.
Well, it's a really interesting perspective to see how you try to thread through all these possibilities for extending your life.
Well,
I feel that personally that in the sort of esoteric matrix, and that by that I mean the inner teachings, that there is there are some very highly specialized spiritual operations which can transform your personality so that it more or less begins to harmonize with what you might call your soul or your higher self. Of course, these words are used in many different ways.
Right.
But I do think that this is the, you know, I have to opt because I, you know, my point of view, that I think that the ultimate goal of alchemy is the transformation of the body to bring it into another realm. And very, very few people have experienced this, or at least that we know of. There are a few examples.
Well, let me speak your language and translate everything. As above, so below. Who said that? The excellent Hermes Trismegistus, who is also known as Enoch, who was translated and did not taste death according to the Bible, but Enoch, Thoth, Hermes, Mercury, Quetzalcoatl are the same dudes. And we talked about them last week because they bear the caduceus, the symbol of the medical profession, which is nothing but as above, so below. So the spiritual and the physical must be integrated. Justice and mercy must be integrated. Strength and wisdom must be integrated into the middle pillar of balance. And that's what the caduceus means. So everything we talked about is about a balance of the spirit and the body. I just fear that this anti-aging movement is totally overwrought with strength issues, with physical issues, and have neglected the spiritual that you bring up. So I'm not saying that one is right, the other one is wrong. I'm looking for a balance, an integrative approach, which is the core of the show.
I think that what Jesus was teaching, not what has come down as his sort of the reinterpretation of his teaching, was a form of spiritual alchemy. I don't think that physical alchemy is really the most important thing. I think sometimes the
Absolutely.
Physical alchemists were looking at it as a metaphor for their own work on their spiritual nature, and we're talking about a technology that helps reduce what we're talking about is the ego,
exactly,
so that the
exactly.
personality becomes more harmonious with the full body of this of the Shekinah, of the divine presence, which is it's sort of like a white light that is composed of many different colors, and those colors and those frequencies combine together to harmonize with a more and more of a route to the full experience of the what you call cosmic consciousness that's even is even beyond the individual ego.
Well, what's harmony? Harmony is balance. Harmony is equilibrium. Harmony is homeostasis. Homeostasis is health.
That's the whole essence, I think, of spiritual alchemy, a kind of homeostasis of one's own self with all one's components, which are vibratory. So it's a sort of a vibrational homeostasis.
Well, that's energy. You know, that's the energy and information that I talked about on the last show. And so we're talking about the same things. We just use different languages, French, Spanish, English. We're saying the same thing. So the bottom line of this discussion, Johnny, in my opinion, is that it's great to be concerned with aging. Let's just do it with a more wisdom focus and not so much on the corporeal side of it.
Well, you know, it says another quote from Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God, which I mean by that, I mean the presence of God, the experience of God, and its righteousness, and all else will be granted unto you. So it's not the physical that should come first. It's the actual experience. And with that, I'm afraid, Doctor, we've had a good run, but we need to go. And we're going to leave with a little bit of reminder about how to get in touch with you, okay?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Dr. Hugo Rodier has published 4 books on health issues covering practically all chronic health problems. You may find them by accessing his website at hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. Gut health is the most academic, while switching off chronic disease is the most patient-oriented, with simple recipes to implement his nutritional protocols. This is Johnny Bluestar. We all live very closely or within ourselves to an immense journey of self-discovery and adventure. For humanity, both the wide expanse of stars and the infinitely wider space within ourselves beckon us to make that leap forward. Thank you for making Threshold Radio part of your journey. Be well and keep cosmic.